Welcome to the second podcast of Liverpool Rumours, starring myself, Benny Baller, and Ed001. We are going to be discussing the Liverpool-Bournemouth game and also revealing Harry Skelser, hashtag European glory, hashtag home fan, his real identity. So, without much further ado, Ed01, what do we think of the game?
Well, the result was good, but the game itself, disappointing. Extremely disappointing. It was a snooze fest, really, at the end of the day. If it hadn't been Liverpool playing, I think I'd have probably fallen asleep in front of it. I mean, it just was not really a lot to talk about, was there, as in terms of like quality play. A couple of nice flicks by Coutinho and Benteke working together. Really, I'm struggling to think of anything else that was real decent quality. Maybe a run or two by Moreno when he came on.
Yeah, he looked lively, didn't he, when he came on?
Yeah, I mean, but then he was running against tired legs. I think I'd have preferred it if I would have been the one coming in to attack them, because I think he could have done some real damage at the end of the game. We've been coming in fresh.
Well, that's definitely some of people mention on the site about using Ibe as an impact sub. I see a couple of posts this week. What do you think about that idea?
I actually quite like that idea at the moment, because we got that way we could get Chan in behind, or Lucas. That'd be my preference, obviously. But you could get somebody in behind Milner and Henderson and not have to do without one of those two, because obviously neither of them are going to be dropped. So it's a way of getting them both in, and then bring on Ibe later on to run at people when they're tired. Especially their back four was very... they just seemed to have it too easy. You know, I mean, they weren't really... And they're very well organised, but they're not particularly top class. So you could get at them, I reckon.
So how do you think our forward movement looked against their back four?
Well, Benteke was fine. He just had nobody helping him out. You know, no support, nobody to nod it down to. There was a number of times he was winning the ball and nobody within 20 yards of him. So, yeah, I just think we don't get enough bodies forward. I mean, you've got Henderson and Milner, who normally you'd expect to be getting forward and helping out the striker, Benteke in this case. But both of them were shackled by the system we were using, which seems a bit pointless to me. I mean, Milner was having to run out to the right all the time, where Coutinho were drifting inside, which is obviously what he does. He always drifts inside and he leaves this big space out on the right. And I would have preferred to see Klein filling that than Milner, and Milner running into the middle, if anything, rather than out wide to the right.
You talk about the shackles on him. I think there was a bit less of a restraint on them compared to a Stoke game. I think I saw Henderson being the one more to sit and Milner get forward a little bit more. Do you agree there?
Well, yeah, but I mean, the problem is Milner was doing his running forward and he was just heading straight to the right. I know there was a massive gaping hole there, like where Coutinho was cutting inside. You know, it's not where he's going to do any real damage, unless he's getting the ball and whipping it in, which he wasn't doing. So we still need that as a definite thing we need to look at in our play, is getting the ball into the area more, crossing it.
Yep, I think I counted two crosses, and one was Benteke hit the ball into the floor and then hitting the post and the crossbar, and the other was the goal. Apart from that, I can't remember much crosses going in.
Exactly. You know, when you've got a player like Benteke, who's so strong in the air, you should be looking to put the ball in more often. In fact, pretty much as often as you can, really. Especially, we've got Henderson and Milner. They should be looking to drive in there and get on the end of the bits and pieces for when he can't nod it down cleanly.
Henderson's definitely a man who can win headers. Milner is a bit on the short side, but, you know, he's brave to put his head where it hurts. And, you know, there's no reason them two couldn't get in the box and put their head on things.
They don't have to get their head on it. I mean, they can look for the nod downs and that, you know. Because with Benteke winning the headers, not always is he going to get clean contact or able to, you know, it's, or it could get cleared or anything. They should be there looking to pick up these bits and pieces. That's what a box-to-box midfielder's prime job used to be.
Frank Lampard.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, look at the goals he scored. It's not from being anything particularly special. It's just in getting in there, knowing where it's going to break to. We don't have anybody doing that.
And, there will be breaks because when the ball's coming into the box, I mean, the back four, well, the two centre-backs, they are going to be worried where Benteke is. And, you know, it could cause panic. And, you know, there's definitely scraps to be had in that box.
Well, definitely. Because, I mean, even if they get a header, a lot of the times it tends to be, the header's just not a clean header because they're worried about Benteke or they're being challenged by him. So the chances are it will end up at somebody else. There's always going to be mistakes being made. But if there's nobody there to profit from them, it's pointless. Just end up in trouble. And, we do need more bodies. This was something last season. We saw all last season. There was very much an isolated striker in the box all the time. Nobody there anywhere within, apart from when Henderson was getting forward. And this season, obviously, he's shackled by the system. So that is a major worry. Because Benteke can't do it all on his own. And in the past, when he's been at Villa, he's shown signs of frustration and sulking. You know, when he was playing under Lambert in particular, you don't want to see him do that with us, do you? You know, he's playing really well. And you want to keep him playing well. You want to give him something to help him play better, if anything, and not give him reasons to be frustrated.
I definitely think if you sort of took out either your Lallana or Ibe, you could bring Can in sort of as a pivot, and then you play Milner and Henson in front of him, and then they, one of them or both of them, can push on and sort of pick up scraps and get into the box, and you know, you'll always have Can behind you. When you've just got the two, I think they're both timid for one to go forward, if that makes sense.
Yeah, because they never know where the other one is. They're both looking to... Neither are particularly defensive-minded either, so it is something that's not natural to them, having to cover back. Both, I mean, Milner's played most of his career as a winger. He has played central midfield on a number of occasions, but it's not his natural position. He's certainly not a defensive midfielder. He's more of an central midfielder. He's always been someone who's charged forward at every opportunity. And yes, he races back well, but you know, there's no substitute for having positional sense. Doesn't matter how hard you wish. If you have positional sense, that's far more important. Makélélé made it his whole career out of being positioned where he should be all the time. And that was what he built it on. He was never the quickest. He was never the strongest. He was never the most skillful. But he was always in the right place. And that's why he was the best in the world at what he did.
That reminds me of a man that isn't getting a game at the minute.
Yeah. Well, yeah. Lucas is the perfect player for the position. It's not just that he can win, you know, gets in the position, gets the ball back, breaks up the play. It's that as soon as he gets it, he's always looking for the forward
pass. He does always go forward. That's something, you know, people don't seem to realise. His first pass normally is forward unless he's got a man up the back and he's facing his own goal. If he's got time to turn, he does always go forward.
It's always his first thought is to play forward. The only times he won't play it forward is if there's not an option there, which has been a problem in the past. But you don't expect that if you've got Milner and Henderson.
If you had Milner and Henderson, you know, we're a bit more freedom in front of you, and sort of Coutinho. Well, I'd imagine you're talking then is playing Coutinho, Lallana / Firmino / Ibe wide, and Benteke down the middle. Is that how you'd play it, with three in the middle like that?
Yeah, that's something like that. Yeah, any sort of variation of that would be good. Though Firmino did worry me when he came on on Monday night. He looked a bit what's the word I'm looking for? Not lost. He just lackluster.
I think lost is spot on. I think we were defending. Yep, and I think we weren't getting the ball into his feet. He seemed to move around position a bit to try and find the ball, and he still weren't finding it. He didn't really get in the game. I think lost is a key word. I wouldn't say lacklustre. I mean, we didn't really have the ball when he sort of come on.
But even then, he didn't seem to... The reason why I was saying lacklustre is because he didn't seem to make any effort to get back in and work for the ball.
You want him to grab the game by the scruff of the neck and...
Yeah, I want him to go and if the ball's within 5 yards of him, there was at one point you could hear the crowd getting on his back because he was stood. I mean, he was three, four, maybe 5 yards at the most away from a player in possession, and made no attempt to put him under any pressure at all. Not even the tiniest little bit of pressure, which could have easily won the ball back. It's just
nerves,
when
maybe
you're coming on as a substitute, especially. I don't know. I just think he didn't seem like he was understood what he was supposed to be doing, to be honest.
Yeah, I think that actually hits the nail on the head there.
It's quite often a problem with him. It's his second appearance. You can't expect too much, but you'd expect him to at least work his backside off. And he's coming on as a sub. He's only got, 5-10 minutes left of the game at the time when he was stood there watching, thinking... Just run around, you'd just put yourself about, wouldn't you? Make yourself look busy at least and impress. But he seemed to be more content to just wait for the ball, and that's not going to win your leagues. It's not going to put you up there chasing fourth place. You need somebody to make a difference. Coutinho does that. I've seen him play central midfield, and at times you were thinking, Jesus, who's that dog of war there throwing himself into challenges?
Mm.
And he's flying in, and you're thinking, that's Coutinho. No. You just see him. He doesn't seem like the same type of player when he drops further back. He's quite happy to get stuck in.
Yeah,
and I like that about him.
Well,
Firmino didn't show that.
Yeah, well, I mean, that's our midfield and our attack. Let's move on to the back four. What are your views there?
Well, Gomez did well, but playing against Richie, who's lacks skill to go past him, he's not got the strength to bully him, he's not got the pace to worry him, and he's just got nothing other than a decent left peg that he wants to either hit a shot, cut inside and hit a shot, or welly a crossfield pass across to the other side, where there wasn't never a space because Klein was always stayed well back and defended well. Yes, Gomez did well against Richie, but Richie doesn't offer enough for me. Klein did well as well. Like I said, he was always in position.
Hmm.
I'm still worried about the centre-backs, though. They were too far apart for most of the game. There's no partnership or understanding there that I can see. They just don't seem to know what each other's doing. And I know this is a problem that we've seen all along with Skrtel, but it seems to be something with Lovren as well. Whoever he plays alongside doesn't seem to fit with.
Yeah.
Unlike when he was at Southampton, where he seemed to know exactly what he was doing and his teammates knew exactly what he's doing. With us, there just doesn't seem to be any. I mean, he was beaten so easily by Wilson a couple of times. And I know Wilson's quick, but still, he should have put himself in a better position to deal with it. Luckily, they didn't play with two forwards right up on us, right up on the back line. King dropped off too far, and by the time he was catching up with play, it was too late for him to really threaten us, which was lucky, because that made the difference for me. That was a huge tactical error on Eddie Howe's part, in my opinion. King's pace is just incredible. And if he'd have been up there, I just can't see how Skrtel and Lovren could have coped with it, because they lack-paced them so badly.
Yeah.
They were splitting so far apart. There was acres between them. With a player like King, he could have been in that space all the time and really caused us all sorts of problems.
Well, they did cause us one problem, a certain corner. What do you make of that?
Yeah. Well, apart from... Because we discussed this earlier...
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, we think now we've kind of both come to a different conclusion, haven't we? Haven't discussed.
Well, I'm still in the camp it's a foul, but you didn't believe that at the start.
No, I still think Lovren ducked under it. My first thought was he ducked under it looking for a free kick, pulling away from it. But now, when I'm thinking about it, because I'm thinking about Mignolet, makes to come out and does start to come out for the ball and then stops and dithers and goes back. I'm wondering if Lovren thought the keeper was coming flying out and the duck was not because of the trying to win a foul, but was because he was expecting the keeper to go over the top of him and punch it clear. Because that's the only reason I can see for actually ducking under a ball that he should have won.
He could quite possibly been fouled.
I'm sorry, but I just don't think that there was enough pressure put on him to stop him heading that ball. He was always well in front. He should have still made an attempt to head it.
Did you play the game, Ed? Because, come on, you see that little hand in the back. When you're in the air, that can do all sorts to you.
But he wasn't in the air. He never took off.
It was sort of one movement. As he was taking off, he got a little left hand in the back, followed by that left hand going over his left shoulder and the right hand over his right shoulder. Maybe he couldn't jump.
I'm sure he could.
He was being
if someone's on his back.
He was being used as a ladder. I don't think a professional footballer would bottle that header, unless, of course, you say Mignolet shouted or he's got Mignolet in the corner of his eye and sees him coming. Because Mignolet did take a step, you know, before deciding to get stuck in no man's land. But I still think even that little bit of pressure, he's gone to push. He's thought, oh God, I ain't got no bounce here. I'm gonna have to make it look a foul now. I've got no bounce, I've got no leverage because he's on top of me. The best I can do now is duck my head and hope the ref thinks, you know, sees the foul clearly.
I would still hope that a centre back would do what they're taught to do as a defender, and that is, even if he's doing that, he should have pushed himself against the attacker.
Make it hard as possible. Yeah.
Yeah, he did nothing. He just ducked. And that, to me, is even if he is fouled, that's poor defending. And that, for me, would have him on the training ground doing an extra hour after training.
You say poor defending, it got the goal ruled out.
Well, then it's, you know, then you could call it cheating, maybe. But it's certainly not good defending, is it?
How many times will you see those given? Well, just thinking, you know, he can't get up. He's not going to get up. You'd like him to back in to stop him, to make it hard as possible. But you just, you know, we're thinking about it 2 days later. You know, he's in the moment. He's got to think, you know, it's like if someone flicks a player, they go hold in their face. They try to show the referee there's been a foul, you know. And I think that's the decision he made.
Your first thought is you should clear the ball, get the ball away, then you complain. You don't do it while you're in the moment. That's bad defending.
I don't think he could get the ball because he's being leaned on.
Well, then he should make it as difficult as possible for the attacker to get it.
Well, that's what I mean. He's gone, you know, he's got two trains of thought there. You know, I've been leant on, I can't get up. Do I make it look like a foul or do I make it hard as possible? And obviously he's gone with the former rather than the latter.
Yeah, but 9 times out of 10, that decision won't go his way.
Totally.
I'd rather he did what worked 9 times out of 10 than do what will work 1 time out of 10.
No, I can agree with you on that.
That's my worry is, now he's seen it work, will he then do that next time? And it'll be in the back of the net and he won't get a foul. And no amount of complaining will change a ref's mind.
Very good point. What about... Go on.
Play to the whistle.
Yeah, play to the whistle. Well, you know, I personally think he couldn't get up. He's thought, oh, you know, he could have thought Mignolet's coming. He could have totally bottled the header. Yeah, you know, I'm open to it. But as a professional footballer, I'd hope not. And he does win his headers, so I don't think that. Yeah, I think only Lovren will know what he was thinking. Can we agree on that?
Yeah, I do. I don't see him as a bottler, I gotta say. He does seem to like to get stuck in, doesn't he? He does seem to like the, you know, the battle. If anything, he gets a bit rash and gets carried away, is his problem normally, isn't it? Which is why I was wondering if possibly he did think Mignolet was coming out. and so he's just getting out of his way. We do know there's no communication at the back, even now. There's been a real struggle with that. You could see it because the gap between Skrtel and Lovren at all times, where they're being dragged all over the place, that just shows a clear lack of communication.
Hmm. Do you think that'll come in time? Do you think it'll come in time?
It's something O'Driscoll works on a lot in training. So I'm hoping it'll come. Hmm. I can't see how it can be left like that. It has to be improved on.
Let's talk about our goal then. I think, you know, there's no disputes with any football fan in the world. It's offside.
Yeah, should never have been given, but... Well, I can't even think what the linesman was thinking when he gave it, to be honest. I can't even think of an excuse for him.
I'm just trying to think it back. Was no, because Benteke was... No, yeah, all our players were onside. He was the only offside one. So there's no one blocking the view of Coutinho, was there?
No, there was nothing to block the view. There was... It's just one of those bizarre decisions that you can't figure out. I understand Coutinho going for it. He doesn't know who's behind him. You've just got to go and try and score and then worry about it afterwards, don't you? Then you have a look and see, was I offside afterwards? And, wow, the linesman just had a mare. And the officials were poor, to be fair, though, all night.
I did feel a bit of bias towards Liverpool in the first half. I think he realised it. I think he went and tried to help Bournemouth a bit in the second half. And, you know, a bit later on, I mean, there was some foul. I remember a Bournemouth player, he got a yellow card. He was chasing back and he simply shoulder barged Coutinho off the ball and got booked for it. And, you know, yeah. I thought, why? He didn't. I was watching the game with my brother and I said, oh, maybe put an arm round him and give him a tug. And, you know, it showed the replay. No, it was just a square shoulder barge. He was quicker and stronger than Coutinho and the refs booked him.
Yeah, there was some strange decisions in that game, it must be said. You can see why smaller club fans get annoyed.
Mm.
Because there does seem to be a definite bias for referees and officials towards the bigger clubs. And it is a shame because they have enough trouble keeping without having the money. They need all the help they can get. It's kind of spoils it for me. Though, on the other hand, you're glad to pick up 3 points, aren't you? So,
well, that's it. It's a six out of six. And, you know, yeah. We're up there in top four as it is, you know. So they're
played a bit better.
Yeah, played a little bit better. That's a positive. You know, a bit more game time for Cam Firmino. That's positive. I disagreed with the team selection. I was hoping Can would start. But, you know, you see, we can now imagine that team will be the team that plays next Monday against Arsenal, can't we?
Well, Hendo's injury might be keep him out.
Oh, wow, yeah. How do you have any inside info on that? What's happened there?
Last I heard, they were waiting for a scan, so they won't know tonight or tomorrow. Probably most likely before we'll find out anything on that. But there's a good chance he might not be playing.
Hmm. So next you're going to tell everyone that we've put a bid in for Kovacic now?
No. Chan worried me, though, when he came on.
Go on.
He looked a bit headless chicken, didn't he? Charging around rather than just sitting there and holding and protecting the back four.
See, I think that relates into Firmino as well. I think, you know, you talk about not knowing what they're meant to do. Well, it hurts to say, but our backs were kind of against the wall against Bournemouth. And, you know, he come on chasing like headless chicken. Firmino didn't know where he were meant to stand. You know, good subs last week, yes. This week, coming in at that stage at a 1-0, you know, the game could have gone anyway. I think there were, there was a bit where Can chased a bloke into the box and I thought, oh God, here comes a penalty, you know, because he got goal side and, you know, it's far corner. And, he got goal side and I thought, oh God, because he did look reckless. And I think coming on late into a game at 1-0, it's got to be hard for the players.
It's especially hard for a player like Chan, who's trying to impress and in a defensive position and against a team that are causing us problems. Yeah, I'm not going to stress too much about his performance. He should have been in from the start if he's going to play, really. I think that's what he needs to be.
I think he's a kind of player that he's a bit like a steam engine. He needs to get up and going. I think as a substitute, I don't like it. I want to see him from the start grow into a game and find his feet.
Yeah, I think so as well. That's a really good way of describing it. Even when he runs, he's like a steam engine. He's not quick. And then it just suddenly, he's quick. It's like, you know, it's just like it's slow build up rather than just rapid acceleration.
It's like a bogged down fifth gear. You just got to wait until you pick up the speed and yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, that's exactly it. It's really strange to watch. Mm. But he glides a bit as well when he's going.
I'll call him Emery Tank.
You know, when he's trying to get going. He's an odd character. He could be something special though. Could be something special in the future, him. Mm. But he needs to be starting, not coming on as a substitute.
Especially at his age now. I think, you know, now's the time he's to learn his trade. He's had his break in season, played out of position. I think, you know, give him some starts in there. If it don't work out, and he's got to go next summer, you know, hopefully not. Hopefully it all works out, but, you know, another year transition, whatnot. But at least he'll have a bit of market value. I mean, there's no point him doing these 20-minute cameos and then selling them for $4.5 million.
Yeah, exactly. It's the wrong way to do it. You need them from the start. They need to learn. He's only a young lad, but he's played for some big clubs, you know, so he should have some experience there to start with. So all he needs is to gain more experience. He's certainly got the ability. We've seen that.
Definitely. He's
just not played in the right position so far. I'm still not convinced he's quite suited to a defensive midfield role. But he needs to play it to learn it. I mean, Lucas wasn't very good at it when he first came in.
Well, he come in as a cam, didn't he?
Yeah, he was just attacking midfield, one of the top goal scorers as well, weren't he?
Mm. Didn't he get a young player of the Copa America?
Yeah, something like that.
But that, well, then again, so did Coates, and look what happened there. But
yeah, but he was just slow and injury prone.
Yeah, he was.
He's got some fantastic ability on the ball, him, but he just lacks pace, and his injuries cost him badly. He takes like reminds me of what was his name? Fabio Aurelio. Do you remember him?
Hell of a player.
Yeah, exactly. But he would be crap for 6 games, awful. And you'd be thinking, after injury, like, he'd always get injured. Then he'd come back, he'd play 6 games, and you'd be thinking, oh, God, who is this donkey? What the hell's happened to him? And then the next game, he'd be out of this world. And you'd be thinking, what a player. And then the very next game, he'd be injured again for another 6 months.
I do like how you said you remember him. I'm not that young. I do remember Aurelio.
I had to check. Because you are only a child, after all.
That's it. But I'm a child that remembers Aurelio and that deadly left foot. I still remember. Was it him? He scored that goal, didn't he, against Chelsea? Put it in near post, a free kick. Czech was expecting a cross, weren't he?
I loved him. It's just a shame he couldn't stay fit. I mean, anyone that could get injured playing football with their kids in the back garden, just there's no hope for you, is there, really?
Bless him. Right, let's move on. We've covered the game. Positives are slightly better than last week. That's about it. Unless there's anything else you want to talk about on the game?
No, it's just saying the other positive is another 3 points.
Another 3 points. You know, and at the end of the season, you're not going to be remembering the offside goal if you win the league by a point, are you?
Well, or you might remember it, but you won't care.
Yeah, I suppose so. Right, let's move on then. Do you want to reveal? Now, I've not listened to this. I don't know this. I don't know where you're going with this. Who is Harry Skelzer? I'm intrigued.
Well, you see, people keep asking me about Harry Skelzer. Is he one of the editors? Is he, you know, what is he? Who is he? Where do you find him? Where do you dig him up from? So I decided to do a bit of research.
Okay.
Well, you know, track down his IP and stuff, and you're looking at
turn his
place where it comes from. So you do a bit more background research, and I found out that there's an experiment going on. You see, what happened was, the quote about a million monkeys in a room could produce the works of Shakespeare.
Shakespeare, if they all had a million typewriters, yep.
Yeah, that's the one.
Yep, yeah.
Well, this reached North Korea, and they misheard it and thought that the complete works of Shakespeare was written by a million monkeys in a room with typewriters. So they locked 1,000 monkeys in a room with laptops, and, well,
Harry,
you've seen the result. It's Harry Skelter and his multiple names.
But I've seen no works of Shakespeare.
Exactly. They need another. See, they only got 1,000 of them. That's where they went wrong.
So we're going to expect more clones of Harry and more usernames.
Yeah, another 990,000 of them, and we'll be getting Shakespearean works coming into the site.
Well, there you have it. That is the true identity of Harry Skelter. I'm
yep,
shocked.
1,000 monkeys in North Korea. It's Harry Skelter.
To be fair, I think that discredits the monkeys.
Oh, harsh.
That harsh. Well, there we go. Right, we've smashed that in half an hour. You will be getting a longer podcast at the weekend, is that right?
Yeah, that's correct.
What are we going to be covering then?
Well, some of the changes in the summer to the coaching staff. Hmm. Some of the what actually happened there. Let's talk about that, I think.
That sounds good. I'm sure you can talk about that for an hour.
Oh, don't believe me. Yeah, there's quite a lot to discuss there.
Wonderful. And everyone else, keep your, you know, subjects coming in that you want to hear Ed 01 talk about. Is there, you know, just, is there any rumours, ingoings, outgoings, we know, inside information?
Just Sacco still up for it, still people in for Sacco trying to get him. Him looking to go. There's Lucas. There's a few offers on the table for him, but hopefully we won't take because there's not enough. West Ham are the latest to be looking at him. They're very interested. I'm not sure they'll pay the money we're looking for either. So they're talking about like 3 to 4 million.
Well, that's an insult. But then again, we've offered insulting amounts for players too. So,
but luckily they seem set to sign Song. So yeah, I don't think they'll go for Lucas as well. I think that was if the Song deal didn't happen. So I think that one won't happen.
Where did you know, off Liverpool, but obviously a transfer today, Pedro. Where'd that come from?
Well, this is something Ed002 had said a while back, I think on the Man United site, I can't remember, it might have been on the Chelsea site, that he was like the backup option if Griezmann didn't happen. And Griezmann doesn't look like it's happening, so Pedro's in instead. So this was, and I'm talking months ago he'd said this. So.
Well, now you'll just have all the Man United fans talking him up last week. They'll now say he's, you know, crap. That they didn't need him now.
Well, actually, it was very split on him anyway. There was a lot. There was people who thought he was wonderful because he played for Barcelona, was mostly the discussion, you know, mostly the thing. He plays for Barcelona, he must be great. He's won things, he scores goals for them. But when he's coming on for the last 10 minutes of a game, being fed by Messi and Xavi and Iniesta, anyone could score the goals, really, to be fair, with pace.
Maybe even you.
Well, maybe not me, but I wouldn't be able to see it. Once I take my glasses off, I wouldn't be able to see the ball.
So, yeah. Right, superb. So, yeah, keep your posts coming in, feedback coming in. You know, we're still growing as the podcast goes. And keep your topics coming in, and we will try and find time to cover them. Any last words from you, Ed?
I'm just going to say Inle, good signing that by Leicester by the looks of it. I'm very impressed with that one.
Top four challengers?
Oh, no, I don't see that at all. Top half, definitely, but
I agree. I'm teasing with the top four, but I really think Leicester can get a top half finish. I think they'll surprise a few.
Well, their owner's aiming to make top four in time. It's what he's investing for. So
I like Leicester, and I think we'll leave it there on we like Leicester, and we hope they'll get top half. Stay tuned, and you will be hearing from us at the weekend. Thanks very much for listening.